Ujjalini Lamani, Chapter 3, Krishna's Beloveds. We're continuing with Chapter 3, and this is verse 29. Rupa Goswami, he quotes Sri Krishna personally glorifying the Braja Gopis with the following words that came from his own mouth. When he met the Gopis, they were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction, because Krishna had left them all alone on the banks of the Yamuna and ran away with Radharani, and then he left Radharani also. So they were very dissatisfied and unhappy. So when Krishna finally returned to them, then he had to give some explanation of why he was detained in the forest for so long. And then he was trying to, because he could see they were unhappy and dissatisfied. So then he spoke this famous verse, 10th canto, chapter 32, verse 22. It's called the reunion, when the gopis reunite with Krishna again. Na parayeham niravadya samyujam susadu krityam vibudayushapiva yomava jandur jaragela shinkala samvrishyatadva pratiyattu saduna. O gopikas, I can never repay my debt for your spotless service, even if I live as long as Lord Brahma. Your relationship with me is beyond reproach. O gopikas, you have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties and all connections with your family members, which are very difficult to break. Therefore, O gopikas, I beg you, please, let your glorious deeds and your seva to me be your compensation or be your reward. So this is Krishna glorifying the exalted position of the Braja Gopis, that they are so exalted and so high and so deep and prem that he can never repay them. God becomes a debtor. Lakshminath becomes a debtor. Krishna's name is, he's the Lord of Lakshmi. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. He's the origin of all wealth and opulence and power. But he's telling, I can't repay you. So there's some tika by Vishnu Chakravarti, by Jiva Goswami and Vishnu. Jiva Goswami Pad says that Krishna is saying, let the compensation, because they're thinking, we loved you so much and we gave everything to you, we came to meet you in the middle of the night, then you just left us and ran away as if you didn't care at all. And now you come back. So do you care or what? And then he was trying to make up and explain himself that I care so much and I can never repay you for that happiness and pleasure and love that you've given me. So Jiva Goswami says, let your compensation be repaid by your good activities and your seva to me. Let that be my show of gratitude. He's showing his gratitude by allowing them to serve him and be with him. Vishnu Chakravarti says, Krishna says that his union with the gopis in the verse 10:32:22, samyujam, was niravadya. There is no fault. There's no fault. There's no immorality. There's nothing wrong with the gopis meeting Krishna in the forest. So he's thinking, how can I repay you? And then Krishna is thinking, there's no object in creation which can properly or correctly repay you. Sadhu kritam. And anything I could give you in return is simply temporary. I cannot even repay the debt I have to you for millions of lifetimes of Brahma. Vishnu says Krishna is blaming himself. Look at you on your side as a gopikas. You have worshipped me. And to worship me, you cut off all your family ties and all your family connections. And you've given up all your affection for your husbands, mother-in-laws, fathers-in-law, and your mothers and fathers and brothers and all your relatives. But what about me? I try to love you, but I'm also holding on. I also have affection for my brother, Dao, and my mother, Janani, Yashoda, Nandababa, and Sridham and Subal, and all my Raktak and Patrak. and all my servants and friends and my elderly gopis. I love them all and I have to show my affection for them. So my worship of you or my love in return to you is nowhere equal to the love you're offering me or the service you're worshiping, you're rendering me and offering to me. My love is divided. Your love is united. There's no division in your love. It's me, me, and me. But my love for you, O Radharani, O Gopikas, I love you. I love you, Radharani, like more than anyone. But I also love my mother. I also love my brother. I also love my friends. The gopis just say, Krishna, we have mother, we have brothers, we have sisters, we have friends, but we have no affection. We have cut off, not only physically cut off our relationship with them, but emotionally and mentally completely cut off our relationship. There's nothing for us. That's why the acharyas, they say that the gopis of Vrindavan, they are the perfect examples of the Bhagavad Gita verse 1865. Sarva dharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo. They gave up everything. And this is the highest meaning of love. The highest definition of love, the highest meaning of love is to give up everything. Everything in your hand, to give up everything in your hand, to give up everything in your mind, to give everything up in your heart. Give it up and offer it completely to the beloved. So the gopis did that with Krishna. They gave everything they had. They didn't keep anything. They didn't keep their name. They didn't keep their fame. They didn't keep their shame. They didn't keep their shyness of their bodies. They didn't keep their families, their relationships. They didn't hold anything back. They didn't let anything get in the way of their loving service to Krishna. Krishna first, Krishna second, Krishna all the time. So this is very endearing to Krishna and very powerful controller of Krishna's mind and heart. You can't imagine, you can't calculate, you can't conceive how deep and how vast and how unlimited the depth and the vastness and the unlimited nature of the gopis' love for him. So this is a very classic and famous verse, 10th canto, chapter 32, verse 22. Naparayeham niravadya samyujam svasadu krityam vibudayushapiva yamabhajantur charakeha shrinkala samrishya tadva pratiyattu saduna. This is the direct words of Krishna speaking. And then Vishnu closes his tika by saying, I just can't do it. I can't worship you like you are worshiping me. No matter how much I try or even think about trying, I just can't give up my affection and my connections to my family. So this is Krishna personally glorifying the gopis. So all these statements that are being collected here in Ujjwala Nilamani are to establish the absolute purity and transcendental position and the otherworldliness of the identity and position of the Braja Gopis. They aren't the least bit mundane and the least bit ordinary. They're the most extraordinary transcendental devotees of the Lord. So from the mouth of Krishna, from the mouth of the Shastras, and from the mouth of the great devotees like Shukadeva and the Paramahamsas and Uddhava Mahashaya, and all these great devotees he's citing in this chapter 3 of Krishna's beloveds, Krishna Vallabha. It's called the Krishna Vallabha Adhyaya, the chapter that introduces the beloved sweethearts and lovers of Krishna, Vrindavan, the gopis. So he's first establishing the transcendental identity, because it's a paramour love affair. Krishna is not married at all. And the gopis are all married to young coward men. They're gopi vatu, young married ladies. So externally or morally or religiously or scripturally, generally such a relationship would be highly irreligious and illegal and immoral and not appreciated. So Krishna is trying to establish the vast and unlimited difference between material relationships and material parakeet lovers and God, when God becomes a Parakeet lover. So then he says, my Krishna personally glorified the gopis, and this is the same verse 10:32-22, another translation. My dear gopis, our meeting together is certainly free from all material contamination. The phrase material contamination, another way Krishna is saying this is our meeting, our relationship, our loving relationship is free from any type of material desires or material ambitions or material feelings or attitudes, and completely free from the contamination of material lust and greed and anger and selfishness, which is driving most everyone on in the material world in their various relationships. All the relationships are propelled by those qualities. But Krishna is categorically and completely different. So Uddhava is the best of all the devotees of Krishna, and he glorifies the gopis in the following eloquent words, which are again recounted in the Bhagavatam, in the famous Brahmar Gita, chapter 47, 61. Uddhava said, Asam maho charanarin ujusham mahamsyam Vrindavane kimapi gomalatoshadinam Yadustyajam swajanam aryapatam chahitva Bejor mukunda paravim shrutibir vimrigyam. Translation, the Brajagopis have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, which are very difficult to give up. And they have cast aside the path of chastity, sati dharma, to take complete shelter of Krishna Mukunda, which everyone should search for by deeply studying the Vedas. Shrutibir vimrigyam. Oh, Uddhava says, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan. Why? Because if I take the form of a goma lata oshadi, a very humble and small and short, insignificant little shrub or weed or bush, a creeper on the ground or a 1 foot high shrub, then the gopis, when they go hither and thither, they may step on me, and when they step on me, some kunkum or anything, some sandalwood paste or any type of unguents and lac dye from their feet, it may fall off their feet when they're running hither and thither. And then me, Uddhava, in my spiritual body in Vrindavan as a creeper or a bush, I will get that blessed dust, Kunkumena, Sri Kunkumena, that will adorn my body and be the greatest crown on my head, of the dust of that gopi's feet. So this is Krishna's glorifying the gopis, and Uddhava's glorifying the gopis. Another translation says the Brajagopis have given up all the association of their husbands and other family members, who are very difficult to give up. Well, it's the same thing. They have forsaken the path of chastity. So now text 32. Maya kalita tadrikstri shilan nain ana suyabi najatu brajadevinam patibi sahasangama. The gopis did not marry the coward men who held no animosity, because the coward men saw forms of the gopis made by Maya. Another translation. When the gopis went to associate with Krishna, Yoga Maya presented duplicate forms of these same gopis to stay at home with their husbands. Thus, by the arrangement and bewilderment of Krishna's internal Shakti Yoga Maya potency, the Brijvasis, who were the so-called husbands of these gopis that ran away to be with Krishna every night, because of the arrangement, mystical arrangement of Yoga Maya, they all thought that my wife is lying right next to me. That's magic. They did not know that their wives had run far away from home to dance throughout the night in bliss with Krishna. And as they say, what you don't know won't hurt you. So therefore, they were not jealous of Krishna because they didn't think that their wife was cheating on them by meeting with Krishna. So this is a very nice arrangement. And Jiva Goswami says, he explains in his verse, in Maya Kalita Tadrik Shtri, that the Maya-produced forms which performed activities like getting married to certain such-and-such coward men and produced the same form which gave the appearance of being faithful to those coward men. That's a very nice arrangement, a yoga maya. And then Vishnu says, what is the solution to this statement that the gopis were married? Because it says everywhere in Sanskrit, gopi vadvu. And there's some kirtan band called the Vadus or something, right? Vrajavadus. Vrajavadus. So vadu means female and gopa means male. So the vadu means the young married brides of the young coward men. So gopa vadvu. So that's everywhere. It says they're married. So Vishnu says, why? What is the solution? The gopis are married. And then he says the coward men did not show any hatred because they thought that the gopis were at home when actually they were out with Krishna dancing through the night. Because Maya had constructed other forms of the gopis to stay at home. This Maya is yoga Maya, not external Maya. Since material Maya does not have any jurisdiction over the perfect Nityasiddha associates of Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. So that's why we see that none of the coward men ever hated Krishna, they were never jealous of Krishna, and the gopis never got in any kind of trouble because there were two gopis, the real one and the fake one. The fake one was with the fake husbands, and the real one was with the Nityapati, the real husband, the Upapati Nayak, Krishna, their eternal beloved, Purushottam. So the real and the fake. This is because Yoga Maya is the Chit Shakti, internal potency of Krishna. And therefore, whatever she does must be eternally true. So she made these false or replica, duplicate wives, and that's forever. That's eternally exists. Even when the material world is completely destroyed, the coward men will continue to identify with these duplicate gopis that these are our wives lying by our side. This is an eternal situation. So, like all men, even in the Mahamaya, every man thinks that this woman lying by my side is my wife. But that is an illusion, eternal. Because the woman lying by your side, which is lawfully married to you as your wife, is actually Krishna Dasi. Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nityadasi. And you're in illusion. But Mahamaya has given you the illusion that this is your wife. But your wife and every wife and you and every husband are the eternal servants of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes this point in his Jiva Dharma, page 697, if you have this particular book. And he explains the same commentary and verse and a little different presentation. So this is, first he quotes a verse we already covered from before, verse 19, and then this whole section. The Brajagopis, through the influence of Yoga Maya, they consider themselves to be married to gopas other than Krishna. However, due to the power of Yoga Maya, they never come in physical contact with their dharmic wedded husbands. So according to religious rites and dharma, they had a vivaha utsav, and they were interesting because we're talking about Radha and Krishna's kunja marriage in the kunja, their play marriage. Now we're talking about the Yoga Maya marriage of all the gopis. And we'll hear another marriage also in Radharasudhaniti class today. But Krishna's always getting married. Krishna's always getting married in the kunja, in the temple, in the palace, but he's never married. Kartam akartam. Kartam akartam anyakartam sa Ishvara. He's married and he's not married. And sometimes he's married and then acts like he's not married. Or sometimes he's married and then he tries to get unmarried to Rukmini by convincing her to leave him. So that Bhaktivinoda is saying that at the time the gopis go to meet Krishna, the gopas in their house see the forms of the gopis that exactly resemble their own wives. These forms are fabricated by Yoga Maya so that the gopas will think of themselves, our wives are right here at home. So thus they never have any opportunity to be jealous or hateful towards Krishna. This is a shloka, and here's a commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Brajadevis never had any physical contact with their lawfully wedded husbands, who were all contrived or made by Yoga Maya. Each of the Brajagopis' husbands is only a manifestation from their Bhav and Goloka Leela. Their marriages are also nothing but an implicit conviction created by Yoga Maya. The gopis are not actually married to other gopas, but the abhiman or the feeling, identity, the self-conception or the belief that I am married to another gopa besides Krishna is eternally present. If it were not so, they could not relish the parakiya ras with Krishna. And there would not be any contrariness and inaccessibility, durlapa, vamata, social prohibitions, fear, and so on. So that we discussed before, and this again coming in a similar way here. So this is, again, Rupa Goswami is trying to define the situation. So he goes on, Vishnu Chakravarti on text 33, chapter 3. This is again a quotation from the Rasalila chapter 33, 37. Rupa Goswami says, it is said in the 10th canto that the gopas, the coward men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained at home at their sides, but they did not harbor any jealous feelings against Krishna. Nasuyan kala Krishnaya, which means no jealousy. Jiva Goswami says, this verse is proof of Rupa Goswami's previous statement, because Rupa Goswami said, and his own words, and this is what I said the other day. First he gives his own words, then he gives the praman. Everywhere the acharyas speak like this. The gopis did not marry coward men who had no animosity, because the forms they saw were made of maya. That's Rupa Goswami's statement as an introduction to the shloka he supports from the Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami comments on that Bhagavatam verse. This verse proves Rupa's previous statement. By Krishna's maya, each of the husbands, through marriage, thinking that their wives, actually made of maya, were by their sides, and consequently they did not hate Krishna. This means that whenever there was a need of the gopis to break the vow of having one husband, Krishna revealed forms of maya to the coward men and hid the real forms, which were running to Krishna. The coward men did not find fault with the marriage vows of their wives, because they had no reason to think that they had broken them or violated them, because they never left the house. Though the two forms could not be seen or distinguished, there was a purpose in doing this. Krishna's maya can do anything. Therefore, maya assisted the gopis. Maya produced their good conduct, such as marriage, because that's what it says in the previous verse, they were married. It will also be shown that Maya's actions are the cause of arranging the rest of their ras. Some of the gopis were serving their husbands and some were inside their houses. Those who could not go to Krishna, they had imperfect bodies. But though some were milking cows, they went. This means that though they went, they did not give up their household actions. Then Vishnu says, but it is very easy for Yoga Maya to produce this conception of the gopis lying next to their coward husbands without having to make some false forms. That is also true. So Vishnu says there's no reason to make duplicate forms, that Yoga Maya can just cover them with illusion. Just like the modern world, many ladies are married to husbands and they have two lives. They're devotees, they've taken initiation. Their husbands are not initiated. So these wives have two lives. They have one life with their husband. which is arrangement of Mahamaya. And that's illusion. And the husband under that Mahamaya thinks this is my wife. And they're lawfully married. And she's always with him. But she's thinking, I'm Krishna Das. I'm Krishna Dasi. And this is, my husband gave me one name, or I have one name from birth. But I have my spiritual name, which my guru gave me. So the Yoga Maya, there's two identities, even of devotees in this world. They have identity as a Mahamaya, wife of some husband, who may not be a devotee. And they have their Yoga Maya identity as being Krishna Dasi. And that Yoga Maya first produces this identity and this abhiman. I actually believe it. I actually feel that I'm Krishna Dasi. And I try to serve Krishna every day. But somehow the Maya I'm in has made me have a husband. So I accept that. So even a similar thing is going on when you have couples, devotee couples, where one or the other, I'm just saying this example to make it parallel, the wives, husbands are not Krishna conscious or not that interested in it, although they may be neutral towards their wives. So this is something like that. Because the wife sometimes runs away from the husband. Even devotee wives, they run away from their husbands to go to Kartik to hear about Krishna. And then their husbands are working hard to buy the new saris that they'll want to get when they come home. So the gopis do that too. They run away with Krishna every night and then they come back. So whether you run away for a night or a month or 2 weeks or a week, you do go back. So there is some similarity here, although this is, you know, we're not having Leela. This is our Leela is with Krishna as a devotee. That's our Leela. But it's also Leela. We're in Krishna's Srishti Leela. Is this creation, and our own Prabhupada karma is spinning amazing Leela for each one of us, no doubt. Everyone has his own blockbuster, super sellout movie that he's starring in or she's starring in. It's called Your Life. What a movie. What a director. What a cameraman. Look at all the different costumes you wear. Every day on the set, you enter the set in different costumes and different hairdos. It's all going on. At the time of Ras Leela, Vishnu says, the gopas felt I must prevent my wife from going, and thus they brought them back to their house. This was the arrangement. This would not be possible without creating some false forms. Therefore, in other words, if there was only one gopi and she was running away from her husband, they would prevent them and stop them and bring them back, tie them up, put them in a straitjacket, keep them from running to Krishna. I want to go. No, you can't. I want to go. Let me out of here. And tie her up. Oh, I want to go. Put a straitjacket on the old lady. That's not very nice. So that Maya didn't have to undergo that embarrassment. So according to the Lita Madhav, even the illusory marriage of the gopis with coward men is eternal. So apparently, because there are different opinions about here in this world, everyone knows there's Abhimanyu and he has a shape and a form and he's a real person. And we read from Bhaktivinoda that he said it's just a conception, it's an Abhiman. Because it's a very interesting word, Abhimanyu. The word Abhimanyu means, the word itself, Abhimanyu, means always agitated, always angry, Abhimanyu. But also, if you break it from a different way, it means Abhiman. Abhiman means the self-conceit, the identity, the idea, the belief. I believe in something. You can't prove it, or you can't see it, or you can't touch it, but it's your belief. It's real for you. So this is called conception. Conception is something invisible, or even intangible. It's a thought, it's a feeling, it's an idea. And so this, he was saying that although they have a gross form, let's say a gross form in the Prakat Leela and earth, Bhaktivinoda was saying, and there it's only a conception, it's an idea. But following the line of Vishnu Chakravarti's Tikas and Rupa Goswami's statements, there is a real marriage here. They're really married to so-and-so, Govardhan Mala and Abhimanyu. And there was a marriage reformed and people saw it, and mothers and fathers and everyone was involved. And it's real and it's happening here. So it's also the same there. There's also some form of Abhimanyu, but again there's some illusory form left behind, and the real gopis go with Krishna. It's exactly the same, because that's what he says. Rupa Goswami is saying, even the illusory marriage of the gopis with some other coward man, a real, not a conception of a real marriage, that's also eternal. Because all of Krishna's pastimes and all the pastimes with his Nitya Parishads, they are eternal. And that's in that bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur Prarthana. Goranga Duti Pada. Nitya Siddha Goranga Sangai. Pada Nitya Siddha Kore Mane. Says all the Goranga Sangai, all the associates of Lord Goranga, I should understand, Mane, I should think, that they are all Nitya Siddhas. So they're in the Leela, Leela is eternal. Jagai and Madhai and Gopal Chapal and all these Kans, Chant, Kazi and everybody, they're all eternal in the Leela of Goranga. So all of the activities and all the participants in the direct Leela of the Lord are part of his eternal entourage. And the same thing, of course, with Krishna, the gopis. Vishnu goes on, the coward men did not enjoy with those forms made by Yoga Maya, since it would be improper for them to enjoy other forms which resembled their wives. Shridev says that they thought their wives were at their side. The solution was produced by Yoga Maya. Though the coward men were men, not an idea, the influence of Yoga Maya did not develop lust for their wives. Therefore, they slept in the cow sheds and not in their houses. Though requested to do so by their mothers, they did not develop possessiveness of their wives. So ordinarily, a young married man would probably not want to sleep in the goshala and forego sleeping with his newly married bride. And he certainly wouldn't need the encouragement of his mother to do that. So Vishnu says that Yoga Maya, they were sleeping every night in the cow shed in the goshala. And even though their mothers were saying, what are you doing? You just got married. Are you crazy? You're sleeping with the cows instead of... But they said, no, it's okay. I don't mind. It doesn't bother me that much. Because they had no sense of possession. They had no sense, feelings of possession towards their wives. Yeah, she's there, I'm here, who cares, you know. So that's, of course, not appreciated by the wife if the husband has no sense of possession. Because possession means she's my wife and he's my husband. That mamata, that mamata means mindness. So that Yoga Maya, that's very unusual for a husband to think, she's not mine, she's anybody's, anybody, she's up for grabs, anybody want her, take her. I'm busy, I'm sleeping with the cows, I'm good with that. It's a very innocent and beautiful explanation of how to dispense with the problematic husbands. Just send them to the goshala. If your husband gives you a hard time, tell him to go sleep in the goshala. That's a nice thing. So now this, I guess we'll continue with text 34 and 35 of chapter 3 of Ujjala Nilamani. Rupa Goswami says, he was talking about the parodas, or the ladies that were married. This is the whole topic here now in this part of the chapter. It's called Hari Vallabha, the beloveds of Krishna. Was talking about Parakiya Bhav and the immaculate and pure identity and position of all these gopis that were married, the gopi Vadu, Ramya Kachidupasana Brajavadu Vir Sukalpita, that we're worshipping Radha and Krishna in the same mode as these Brajavadu, and their supreme and pure position has been identified and explained here by Rupa Goswami in his own words and in the words of the Bhagavatam and the other Shastras and the commentaries of our Acharyas. So now, under the same category of Parakiya, now he switches the topic to the Kanyakas, or the Kanyas. This is verse 34 and 35. And it says here, the Kanyakas, the unmarried gopis, they were also in Parakiya Bhav. This category also, it also comes under the subcategory of Parakiya. So let's hear how that is. The unmarried gopis. Danya Saki and other young unmarried gopis were still living with their mothers and fathers. They had not been given away in marriage, and they're still being protected by their mothers and fathers. And they were busy playing childish games with all their girlfriends. They were shy, and they possessed all the charm of youthful innocence. Another translation by Bhanu Swami. The Kanyas, the Braja Kanyas, were unmarried. They were shy and protected by their parents. They have trust in the pastimes of the Sakis and are generally mugda. Among the Kanyakas, some were engaged in worshipping Durga, such as Danya. Krishna fulfilled their desire, and they thus are called his dear women or wives, his valavas. Because the word valava means my wife or my intimate lover. So that's why earlier Vishnu Chakravarti was saying that this phrase, Gopi, that we're chanting, we're given this Diksha mantra, Gopal mantra, which is described in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, and it ends with Gopi Jana Valava. So he said this Upanishad, because he was proving the eternality. He was proving the eternality in the Shastric and the perfection of Krishna's relationship with the gopis by stating and showing that it's even established and proven in the Upanishads, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which describes this mantra and other ancient shastras. It's a very ancient Vaishnav Diksha mantra, Gopal mantra, Gopi Jana Valava. So the word Valava means the lover, the wife. So if it's not. So when you say Gopi Jana Valava, it means that Krishna, and it's plural also, means he's the lover of many, many gopis. And every gopi gets married, like every Indian girl gets married. Every gopi was married. And Krishna was the Valava. He was the lover and husband of every one of them. So Rupa Goswami is saying here, these were unmarried virgin girls that had no husband. But they wanted Krishna as their husband. So they worship Katyayini, Durga. So these women are called Valava, Jiva says, because Krishna accepted them as his wives. Because the conventional Sanskrit meaning of the word Valava means wife. Sometimes we say lover, but that's included. But the actual primary definition of Valava means my wife. These gopis, these kanyas, were quite different from those gopis who took Krishna, thought of themselves as Krishna's wives, and that was previously described. So then he says earlier, among the young unmarried gopis, some of them took a vow to attain Krishna as their husband. Then he mentions that, about that they're worshipping Katyayini. That's right after Kartik Maina is the Katyayini Maina. So we have Kartik Maina, and Kartik Maina everyone worships Radharani. Then in Katyayini month, everyone worships Krishna. So Kartik is Radharani Puja, and she's called Kartiki Devi, and she's called the Devi or the goddess of this month. This month is also called Orja Mas. Orja means Shakti, power, strength, power, influence. And Radharani is known as Orjeshwari. She's the queen of all powers, all Krishna's powers, Sarvashakti Mayi Radha. So Orjeshwari, and Prabhupada writes, in Nectar of Devotion, which means Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the Kartik Brat is called the Orja Brat, the Brat to worship Urjeshwari, to get the power. We want the power of Radharani. What is the power of Radharani? The power of Radharani is pure bhakti, Krishna Prema, pure surrender, pure attachment, pure bhakti. The next text, 636. Oh friend, you are confidently involved in the Sakis' pastimes. The young girls, headed by the Gopi Danya, the young unmarried virgin girls of Vrindavan, the Braja Kanyas, and the leader of them was Danya, they devotedly followed the austere vow of Katyayini Brat. Katyayini Mahamaye Mahayoginya Dishri Nandagopa Sutam Devim Patim Me Kurute Namaha. O Katyayini, O Mahayogini, O Yogamaya Potency, O great powerful goddess, please bless me that the son of Nanda Maharaj becomes my husband. Patim. Patim me kurute namaha. I offer my respects to you and I pat kuru. You do for me, you make him my husband. So every day they fasted, they ate khichdi with no spices. Only ghee. Rice, green hara, green mung dal, and rice. And some ghee, boiled. Bus. 30 days, once a day. And then taking early morning bath in the Jamuna. And then doing a Murti Puja of Durga Devi from a sand Murti. Because there's eight types, Ashtamurtis. and Manasik Murti, and San Murti, and Chitra Murti, and Datu Murti, and Daru Murti, a Murti, a form of the deity from wood, or from metal, Datu, or from Daru is wood, or from Shila, from stone, or in the Manasik mind, you can have, or from painting, or in the sand. Sometimes you must have seen on Facebook these Puri devotees from Jagannath Puri. They go down to the beach and they take the beach sand and they make a face at Jagannath. They make a Rath Yatra cart and they make Baladeva and Subhadra, and then they're black and they look just like them out of sand. And you see pictures of them. So this is actually a Murti. And it lasts, that Murti lasts, that when they make that Murti, that's established by their devotion, by their creation in the beach sand of Puri. Then the waves come up at high tide, so the Murti lasts for an hour, 2 hours, 12 hours at most, and it comes and it goes. So this is also a Murti. So every day, the Kanyas would make a Murti of sand, shaped like Durga, and they would do full puja, and then the Yamuna water would wash away the Murti, and the next day they make another Murti. It's called Visarjan. Visarjan means Murti Visarjan, Ganapati Murti Visarjan. You worship Ganapati for 9 days, and then the Murti, the Utsav Murti that you procured or purchased, then you submerge in a sacred river. And next year you do the puja again. And if you're a strict Ganapati Bhakta, then every day you're doing Ganapati puja to a fixed Murti in a temple or a Murti in your home. So they were doing this Utsav Murti for 1 month, puja. And this is text 36. They were devoutly following an austere vow to worship Durga to get Krishna as her husband. Krishna later fulfilled her desire. In Mrigashirsha Purnima, the next Purnima, Krishna appeared to those Kanyas and accepted them as his wives. And they became dear lovers of Krishna. So there's a verse here. This is Rupa Goswami is saying, "Oh, my dear, oh Sakhi, you're only a small, tender little child playing in the dust. You're not even wearing a shirt." Like, really, little girl. "Oh, friend, oh Sakhi, Visrabda Sakhi Duli. Visrabda Sakhi Duli Keli, Duli Keli Pata, Pata Sambita, Vakshastala. Vakshastala, you don't have anything. This is your Vakshastala. Vakshastala means the place. It means stala means the place of your chest. Literally, Vaksha means stala, and stala means place. Pata means the covering. You're busy. You're busy playing in the dirt. Oh, Sakhi, you're busy playing in the dirt. Sakhi Duli Kaili. You're doing Duli, Dhula, like go Duli, Braja Duli. Kaili means to play." It's a very beautiful verse. This is Rupa Goswami. "Duli, Sakhi Duli Kaili, Sakhi Duli Kaili Pata Sambita Vakshastala." This is another translation. It says, "You're playing in the dust even without a shirt. You're playing in the dust and you don't even have a choli or a shirt. You're such a young gopi that your gopa father has not even thought about searching for a husband for you. Even though you're so young, you just hear the warbling sound of that peacock-feathered crowned Krishna in the Vrindavan forest, and you're trembling, and your eyes are rolling about in ecstatic love, and you're still playing in the dirt. And that's really robbing from the cradle." He says, "On hearing Krishna's flute, your eyes quiver, and your body shakes, and you turn around dizzily." And Jiva Goswami says, "Who's saying this? Who is telling this little girl this? This is the wife of the elder brother." So there's a young girl, young gopi, and her name is Radha, and she has an older brother, and his name is Sridham. Then Sridham has a wife. So one day the wife of Sridham, that's what it says, the wife of the elder brother, the wife of the elder brother says, "You're such a tiny little girl. You're such a little Sakhi. You're not even wearing choli. Why, you're just Krishna's in a distant forest, Krishna's playing his flute, and you're becoming perturbed and disturbed as if you have as if romantic feelings were rising in your heart. How is this possible?" Jiva Goswami comments. This is a statement by the wife of the elder brother of that tender virgin Sakhi, who's playing in the Braja Duli without a shirt. It's so cute. Sakhi Duli Kaili Pata Samvita Vakshastala. That's beautiful. Such a cute and beautiful verse, Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami comments. This is a statement by the wife of the elder brother. You have faith in the pastimes of the Sakhis. Even though her previous condition has been pointed out, it is in the present tense since it happened recently. Vishnu says, these are the joking words of some woman in Braj who has established a relationship with Krishna. He says, your chest is covered with clothing in the form of dust. Thus, you are simply an innocent child. The disorder of words caused by necessities of meter should be corrected. The word Vallabha indicates the father has no great discrimination. Now that's a little confusing. The basic point is that these gopis, these kanyas who were worshipping Krishna, they were very young. Because it says that when Krishna came, because this is a story, Gopi Vastraharana, Krishna steals the gopis' clothing. The Vastraharana. He steals the clothes of the young unmarried gopis, which means the virgins. These kanyas, which Rupa Goswami is describing, even they fell in love with Krishna and worshipped Katyayani to attain Krishna as her husband. And the Gandharva writes, says, you're a tiny child intently playing in the dust, not even wearing a shirt. You are so young that your coward father has not even begun to search for your future husband. Even though you're so young, now that you hear the warbling sounds from the peacock feather crowned Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, you're trembling, your eyes are rolling about in ecstatic love. So this shows that these are one category of gopis that Krishna accepted. He went and he took their clothes, and the acharyas say when the gopis were bathing that Purnima, they were 6 years old and Krishna was 7. And a year later, in the Rasa dance, Krishna was 8 in the Bhagavatam. And he called them, and all these gopis, the sadhana siddha gopis, the Shruti Charis and Rishi Charis that performed as brata, as kanyas, or unmarried girls, they all ran out to the Rasa dance and accepted Krishna as their eternal husband and consort. So we'll continue tomorrow with verse 37 of Ujjalan Nilamani.